virtual couch.
It should be illegal to have this much swag. Letitia, maybe you need to order up a prescription for that sauce, girl. Are you ready to be enlightened, empowered, and inspired? Wipe your feet at the door. Get your snacks, water, and an opened mind to take in these priceless gems from your favorite therapist, Letitia.
With that dope swag from the best coast to the west coast. And she's fine, too.
On Letitia's virtual couch. Do your thing, beautiful.
Few of my different guy friends have revealed to me that they have feelings for me. And I'm not interested, but I'm just wondering where this sudden mojo came from. I mean, do you notice anything unique about me?
I don't notice nothing. No, I'm happily married. You thought that they really just wanted to be your friend?
Well, yeah, I mean, you can have guy friends.
No, you can't. Only way you have a guy friend is you're saying we're only friends. They're hanging out with you in hopes of something else happening. They hang out with you and they circle like buzzards, waiting on a crack in the door, a chink in the armor. Guys are not made that way. Men, you don't hang out with fly chicks to be their friend. You hope you catch them hurting one day and you're there for them. Guys know I'm telling you the truth. You don't find any of them interesting?
No, I mean, they're all good guys, but we're friends.
Stop. What are you looking for?
I mean...
Are you looking for a good guy?
Yeah, definitely.
And there's a good guy that's looking at you.
Hey, and welcome to Letitia's Virtual Couch. Can men and women be friends? This is the age-old question that has sparked many debates online, at the water cooler, in carpool, on the radio, talk shows, and around countless dinner tables. This episode of sorts is a part two of my previous episode with my guest, Felipe Christopher Blue, when we unpacked the viral video pertaining to men being able to have sex with women they don't like and aren't attracted to, which I will say was so much fun. But I thought I would dedicate another episode specifically around the question, can men and women be friends? Because we kind of alluded to it a little bit in that episode, and I just had the bright idea. The light bulb went off again, and I was like, you know what? I need to designate and dedicate an episode towards this question. And I will say, it is going to be a fun and bumpy ride, but I promise you we will get to our destination safely. I hope. Okay, so come back after this break for more. And again, you know what I always say, get your water, your snacks, and whatever you need to feel comfortable and cozy up on the virtual couch. And today I will have Felipe Christopher Blue as our guest again, because it's always so much fun to have him on the couch with me as we banter and we laugh and we joke, but we also unpack and dissect, which we're going to do today, some very thought-provoking questions. And so my whole vision of my podcast, as I told you before, is to empower, inspire, and educate you so that you can leave the couch just smarter and more knowledgeable about things that you probably had questions about yourself, okay? So again, I don't want to hold you too long here. Go get your things and come back. So yeah, this is going to be a fun episode, you guys. So I can't wait, and just go get what you need and come back after this break. Hey, this is your girl, Letitia, coming to you from the virtual couch. I want to take a little bit of your time today to discuss how to find the right therapist. Now, like with anything, your hairstylist, your gardener, your medical doctor, it may take a few tries before you find the right fit. Finding the right therapist is no different. So stay the course and don't give up. Also, I want to empower you to ask questions. Do not feel like you're being intrusive by asking questions, because guess what? This is the person that's going to lead you and guide you towards your healing. And this is a very important partnership. So I will say this, even as a therapist myself, if a therapist becomes offended by any questions that you may have, just like with any other individual that I discussed before, like your doctor, your gardener, whoever, someone, you know, working on your home, if they become offended, you're probably not going to hire them, right? Exactly. Your therapist is no different. So don't feel offended. Don't be offended by the degrees and the licenses and, yes, all those hard things we worked for, but we're here for you. And so it is your right to ask every question you need to ask to make sure it is the right fit for you. And again, it may take a few tries. And again, it doesn't mean that you're a bad person or that therapist is a bad person either. It just means that, you know what, they may not be the right person to guide you on your journey. So I want to leave you with a few resources. Psychologytoday.com is a resource where you can view various therapists, and you can even input your area by your zip code, your city, and your state to find the therapist nearest you. You can also go to therapyforblackgirls.com and therapyforblackmen.org. Please seek these resources out. They are awesome. There are some wonderful, very experienced therapists on these sites, some of which are my beautiful colleagues, and I know the hard work that they do, and they are waiting to hear from you. Okay, so I'm not gonna take any more of your time, because I know you can't wait to get to that computer, right? And search out that therapist. So I'm not going to say anything further. If you want to tell me about your experience, I would love to hear about it. Please email me at virtualcouchpodcast1@gmail.com. And happy hunting. Take care. The information provided on this platform is for informational purposes only. If you ever find yourself becoming triggered, please refrain from listening. If you ever feel like you want to hurt yourself or hurt someone else, please dial 911 or report to your nearest emergency room. Thank you.
Have a seat on the virtual couch.
Get it, girl. Let's go.
Is a friend. According to Oxford Dictionary's definition, a friend is a person whom one knows and with whom one has a bond of mutual affection, typically exclusive of sexual or family relations. Although there is a such thing as friends with quote-unquote benefits, right? But we won't go into that. Many say men and women can't be friends. You don't know how many times I've heard this, right? But Wendy L. Patrick, PhD, a behavioral expert and the author of Red Flags, disagrees, but says there are some caveats to this, right? Men and women certainly can be friends, according to Wendy. Patrick says, friendship is based on mutual trust and respect, not sexual attraction, people. But she admits that this often develops into something larger. If both parties are single, great, she says. A romantic relationship stemming from friendship that progresses to the next level will have a much healthier foundation than one that has begun with a one-night stand. Yeah, I totally agree. Are there exceptions to the rule? Sure they are, she says. The most challenging exception is when one party is having trouble viewing the relationship as just a friendship, and the other has his or her romantic sights set on other shares. If you think you might be developing feelings for your friend, she recommends that you should proceed with caution. And I totally agree with that. It's never fun when one person is having feelings for the other one and the other one doesn't, right? That's not fun at all. We want two willing participants who have the same feelings towards each other, okay? Now, Jennifer Silvershine, or Sheen, LCSW, owner of Manhattan Wellness, says that men and women can be friends, but sometimes outside factors or societal pressures will cause you to consider your friend as a romantic option, even though you might not actually like them in that way. For example, your friends may ask if you or your friendship or your friend has ever, has ever escalated into something more. And I can totally attest to this. I have had, several times I've been asked if certain male friends were something more. And I'm like, no. Like, come on now. I think it's very healthy for us to have platonic acquaintances. It's very healthy, right? We should be able to have friends and acquaintances of the opposite sex. And if we can't achieve this without difficulty, that points to much deeper issues, I say. I definitely believe that all great intimate relationships are built upon a foundation of friendship, but all friendships do not require romance. If two willing people want to take things further, then do so. I will say this, I know many fear things could go sour, especially you have a great friend, and sometimes people are scared to take it a little further for fear that if we break up, then I didn't only lose a significant other as a boyfriend or girlfriend, but I also lost a great friend. Because I will say, I'm not going to sugarcoat this, it is hard to go backwards. Once you've crossed that line, it's just hard to go backwards. I know people have tried before, but it's almost impossible, I'll say. I have really never seen anyone successfully go back to a friendship. I'm not saying it's isn't doable, but it may be really, really hard to do so, okay? It's about being super genuine, but also not putting yourself in a position to lose someone that's really important to you, Silvershine says. Move slowly and be mindful of the choices you're making, because it's hard to forget history. Again, I agree with that. But some beautiful relationships can come out of friendship. She says, just ask Harry and Sally. I also, in this episode, you guys, included a short clip from the 1989 classic When Harry Met Sally, starring Meg Ryan and Billy Crystal. So let's listen in, and then we'll take a short break after this, okay? Come back.
Can a man say a woman is attractive without it being a come on? All right. Let's just say, just for the sake of argument, that it was a come on. What do you want me to do about it? I take it back, okay? I take it back.
You can't take it back.
Why not?
Because it's already out there.
Oh, geez, what are we supposed to do? Call the cops? It's already out there.
Just let it lie, okay?
Great, let it lie. That's my policy. That's what I always say. Let it lie. Want to spend the night in a motel? See what I did? I didn't let it lie.
Harry.
I said I would, and then I didn't.
Harry.
I went the other way.
Harry.
What?
We are just going to be friends, okay?
Great, friends. It's the best thing. You realize, of course, that we can never be friends.
Why not?
What I'm saying is, and this is not a come on in any way, shape, or form, is that men and women can't be friends because the sex part always gets in the way.
That's not true. I have a number of men friends and there is no sex involved.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
You only think you do.
You're saying I'm having sex with these men without my knowledge?
No, what I'm saying is they all want to have sex with you.
They do not.
Do too.
They do not.
Do too.
How do you know?
Because no man can be friends with a woman that he finds attractive. He always wants to have sex with her.
So you're saying that a man can be friends with a woman he finds unattractive?
No, you pretty much want to nail him too.
What if they don't want to have sex with you?
Doesn't matter, because the sex thing is already out there, so the friendship is ultimately doomed, and that is the end of the story.
Well, I guess we're not going to be friends then.
Guess not.
That's too bad. You were the only person that I knew in New York.
Have a seat on the Burkeville couch.
Get it, girl. Let's go.
In the classic When Harry Met Sally, the characters hook up in Sally's bed, next to stuffed animals, I might add, after she finds out her ex-boyfriend is getting married. So, you know, Sally was vulnerable. You know what happens when we're vulnerable, ladies, right? And men. In the morning, it's maddeningly awkward between Harry and Sally after that because they were friends. So here's the question again. Can heterosexual men and women ever just be friends? Still, the question remains unanswered. And depending who you talk to, I guess there is an answer, but it depends who you talk to and their experiences, as I stated before. Daily experiences suggest that non-romantic friendships between males and females are not only possible, but some say it's possible depending on who you talk to, like I just stated. Some believe platonic coexistence is merely a facade, an elaborate dance covering up countless sexual impulses bubbling just beneath the surface, like many have told me. And I simultaneously scoff at the rhetoric about men and women not being able to control our sexual impulses and or have a genuine and platonic love for one another. We can do this, people. We're not animals. Although we can be animalistic and primal at our core, but we have higher level of thinking for a reason. Our loins are not to dictate what we do. But research suggests that there may be some truth to this possibility that we may think we're capable of being just friends with members of the opposite sex, but the opportunity or perceived opportunity for those that may be a little delusional for romance is often lurking just around the corner, waiting to pounce at the most opportune moment. In order to investigate the viability of truly platonic opposite sex friendships, a topic that has been explored more on the silver screen than in science lab, researchers actually brought 88 pairs of undergraduate opposite sex friends into a science lab. So let's see what happened here, you guys. Privacy was paramount. For example, imagine the fallout of two friends learned that one and only one had unspoken romantic feelings for the other throughout their relationship. In order to ensure honest responses, the researchers not only followed standard protocols regarding anonymity and confidentiality, but also required both friends to agree verbally in front of each other to refrain from discussing the study, even after they left the testing facility. Now, I wonder if this really happened. Now, we know that some of those quote-unquote subjects, they discussed this, right? These friendships pairs were then separated, and each member of each pair was asked a series of questions related to his or her romantic feelings or lack thereof towards the friend with whom they were taking the study. Oh, this should be interesting. So, let's get into the results. The results suggest large gender differences in how men and women experience opposite sex friendships. Men were much more attracted to their female friends than vice versa. That's no surprise to us ladies, right? Men were also more likely than women to think that their opposite sex friends were attracted to them. A clearly misguided belief. In fact, men's estimates of how attractive they were to their female friends had virtually nothing to do with how these women actually felt, and almost everything to do with how the men themselves felt. Basically, males assumed that any romantic attraction they experienced was mutual and were blind to the actual level of romantic interest felt by their female friends. Women, too, were blind to the mindset of their opposite sex friends because females generally, I can attest to this, were not attracted to their male friends. They assumed that this lack of attraction was mutual. Wow. That was a lot. And I will say I have had this before, but I would also say if I'm attracted to you, you're gonna know it. I throw hints out there, so you're gonna know it. If I am just like plainy, you're like my bro, and come on, there's nothing there. If I kind of flirt with you and kind of hint here or there, you're gonna know. You're just gonna know. And that's not to say that we women, we are not shy at times, because you know how it is. No one usually wants to take the first step because we don't want egg in our face. We don't want to be like, oh, I just see you as a friend. Everyone is scared of some type of rejection, right? But I think you kind of know when someone likes you, fellas. So you guys are so egocentric and egotistical at times. You just think and just project your feelings onto us, right? But sometimes you actually are right. So I won't be too hard on you. Now, I wanted to insert a quote that I found from the movie When Harry Met Sally. This is something that Sally actually said that kind of allude to all of this and contribute to what I just stated. She said, "Harry, you might not believe this, but I never considered not sleeping with you as a sacrifice." I thought that was a little funny little quote to add here. Sally was letting him know, like, it's not a sacrifice that I didn't want to sleep with you. Okay. Now back to the study. Men consistently overestimated the level of attraction felt by their female friends, and women consistently underestimated the level of attraction felt by their male friends. Now, I will say this because it's really making me think. I have had other friends to tell me, "You do not have any male friends that don't like you on that level." I'm like, no. And I still do believe this. I don't think that all of my male friends, I don't think any of them for that matter, look at me that way. At least I don't think so. But they always say no in the back of their mind. If they had an opportunity, they would. I don't think so. And I don't want to think that. Okay. I love my male friends for who they are. And we're just going to keep it at that. Okay. So men were also more willing to act on this mistakenly perceived mutual attraction. Both men and women were equally attracted to romantically involved opposite sex friends and those who were single, okay? Hot friends were hot and not friends were not, regardless of their relationship status. You know what? That is so important though, because I don't really want to say this, but I think attraction has a lot to do, attractiveness, if you will, has a lot to do with it as well. Because you have some people to say, well, no, we're friends because I'm just not attracted to that person. So I'll see that if you have attractive friends, I think it is more apt to be attracted to, you know, towards them. My male friends say that, so I'm not, I don't want to put myself on a pedestal, but I have a lot of friends who say, no, trust me, that man is looking at you and wanted to sleep with you. And I don't want to think about that. But they always allude to attractive, you know, being attractive, and most males are not just going to be want to have a platonic friendship with an attractive female. So I get a lot of my male friends who kind of tease me a lot with that and say, no, your friends are not just wanting to be your friends. They're there because you put them there. And that's the friend zone, I guess, again, that we talked about in the last episode. But I digress. However, men and women differed in the extent to which they saw attractive friends as potential romantic partners. Although men were equally as likely to desire romantic dates with taken friends as with single ones, women were sensitive to their male friends' relationship status and uninterested in pursuing those who are already involved with someone. That is so true about me. If I feel like you're with someone, I am not touching it with a 10-foot pole. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not signing up for any love triangles. I'm just not doing it. Sorry. You have to clear that dust away, fellas. Clean it away, okay? These results suggest that men, relative to women, have a particularly hard time being just friends. What makes these results particularly interesting is that they were found within particular friendships. Remember, each participant was only asked about the specific platonic friend with whom they entered the lab. So, this didn't cover other friendships that was outside of the study. This is not just a bit of confirmation for stereotypes about sex-hungry males and us naive females. It is direct proof that two people can experience the same exact relationship in radically different ways. So let's take a short break here. That was a lot for you to ponder on. So come back after this break for more.
Every single relationship on the planet Earth, whether male, female, male, male, or female, female, every single relationship is based upon some form of attraction. Now, it may not be physical. It may not be sexual, it may not be emotional, but there's something that draws and attracts you to that person. So let's just take my best friend, male. He loves history. I love history. We come together based upon that commonality. Instant chemistry, instant connection. We could talk till the sun comes up. But if I have an opposite sex friend, who loves history, and I love history, we have instant connection, instant rapport, we can talk till the sun comes up. Now, eventually, we know when dealing with the male-female dynamic, intimacy is the foundation of all communication. So the more that we talk about history, I'm like, wow. We can talk about anything. I wish my wife would be interested in history the way you're interested in history. I just can't believe that when we talk, we just have this instant connection, and oh my God. And so we transition from talking about history to talking about politics, to talking about current events, to talking about music, to talking about church, to talking about our favorite TV shows, and getting to know each other. And all of a sudden, I feel like there's this chemistry and bond that I naturally have for her that I don't have with my girlfriend. Now, statistically, amongst married couples, the average couple engages in 4 minutes of conversation per day. That's according to the US and UK statistics, 4 minutes. So that means our conversation is had at the two most primary times of the day, as I'm racing off to work in the morning and when I come home from an exhaustive day at work at night. 4 minutes, and they're very cliche surface conversations. How was work? Work was work. All we're talking about are bills and kids and whatever. But I'm at work for 8 to 10 hours a day, sitting next to that female in the cubicle next to me, developing relationship, having conversation. Eventually, she's looking kind of cute. Like, I didn't notice that. Relationship is now being formed. Do you see what happens? And so now what was platonic, wait a minute, let's look into the word platonic. Because when you look up the word platonic, it is defined as having an intimate and affectionate relationship with someone. That's what platonic means. The question then becomes, as a boyfriend in a relationship, as a husband in a marriage, how intimate and affectionate can I be with you without eventually having a sexual or relational energy that formed from that interaction? How long could this last before it becomes inappropriate? So your boyfriend, girlfriend, your husband, pretty much your husband and your wife, that is your primary relationship. All other relationships are secondary to that. So if I have an opposite sex friend that compromises the integrity of my primary relationship, we need to reevaluate that friendship. Some friendships have to end. Some friendships have to be reevaluated. So
come back to your spot on the vertical couch to get some more gems dropped on you by my girl, Leticia. Come with that fire, Leticia.
We are now at the home stretch. Men, yes, you men. Men seem to have a myriad of opportunities for romance in their supposedly quote-unquote platonic opposite sex friendships. The women in these friendships, however, seems to have a completely different orientation, one that is actually platonic. Yes, the women seem to have completely different orientation. In layman's terms, the women do not look at it the same way. When we feel like we have platonic relationships, that's just what it is. We really believe, and I have to really reevaluate some things, right? But anyway, to the outside observer, it seems clear that these vastly different views could cause serious complications, and people within opposite sex relationships agree. In a follow-up study, 249 adults, many of whom were married, were asked to list the positive and negative aspects of being friends with a specific member of the opposite sex. Variables related to romantic attraction, i.e., our relationship could lead to romantic feelings, were 5 times more likely to be listed as negative aspects of the friendship than as positive ones. However, the differences between men and women appeared here as well. Men were significantly more likely than females to list romantic attraction as a benefit of opposite sex friendships, and this discrepancy increased as men age. Males on the younger end of the spectrum were 4 times more likely than females to report romantic attraction as a benefit of opposite sex friendships, whereas those on the older end of the spectrum were 10 times more likely to do the same. So, what does this mean? The older, the more delusional. Or egotistical one is, and I'm kidding, but really not. Taken together, these studies suggest that men and women have vastly different views of what it means to be just friends, and that these differing views have the potential to lead to trouble, as we may have seen in our personal lives. Not me. I'm out of this.
Although women seem to be more genuine in their belief that opposite sex friendships are platonic, men seem unable to turn off their desire for something more. Guys, what are wrong with you? What's wrong with you guys? And even though both genders agree overall that attraction between platonic friends is more negative than positive, males are more likely than females to hold this view. So, can men and women just be friends? If we all thought that women, if we all thought that, most certainly, right? We women, we think that we can, us women. But it seems like you men are having some trouble with this. So I want to unpack this a little bit more when I come back. You will hear Felipe and I on the virtual couch, and we're going to have a little fun. If you know my friend Felipe, he was on the last episode. We have fun, but we're going to unpack this a little further. So stay tuned. And when I return, we will be, Felipe and I will be on the virtual couch getting all comfy and cozy. Not like that. We're friends. At least I think that. No, I'm just kidding. Felipe is going to kill me. But anyway, when I return, you will be listening to me and Felipe and I unpack this a little further for you. Okay, so stay tuned and come back. You don't want to miss this.
People always ask, how do you feel about close friends of the opposite sex when you're in a relationship? How do you feel about that?
So, I'm very skeptical
of it.
And when I say very skeptical, it depends on the dynamic. Okay. Because I have a lot of close female friends. Okay. But we don't speak every single day. We don't hang out all the time. Like, it's genuinely like a brother-sister type relationship. It's all love. If I had a girlfriend or I had somebody in my life, they would meet them. Like, and it'd be a very transparent situation. But you got people who have these opposite sex friends and they want to keep them away from their partner. Mm. That's red flag number one.
Okay.
All right? Like, if that's your friend, they got to be my friend too. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying my friend, like, we got to hang out and talk on the phone, but you better be able to walk in my house and show me respect, say hello, dap me up, whatever. Like, there has to be some kind of rapport there. If there's not, then yes, I do believe that there's something going on there. Why are you hiding this person from your partner? That is an issue. There is something wrong there. So I think, again, it depends on the dynamic. Also, how often do you speak to this person and interact with them? Like, I think it's very dangerous to where we want to, when we hold on so dearly to our friends as our best friends, we neglect making our partner our best friend. And when we lack that with our partner, we hurt the relationship. Mm. So the partner has to be best friend number one, all right? Doesn't mean you can't have other good friends, best friends or whatever, but there has to be a best friend number one. And I guarantee you, if your partner's your best friend, you will naturally gravitate more to them than your friends. But what people are doing is they're using their friends as buffers. Mm. And what I mean by that is you in this BS relationship with someone that you don't have a genuine connection with, but you tolerate it because you get what you need from your friends. Ooh. Your best friends fulfill you emotionally to where you can deal with your BS relationship. Wow. You're using them as a cover up. You may not be maliciously, consciously doing that, but subconsciously, that is what's happening. Because I guarantee you, remove those friends, you will not last in your relationship another few days. Mm. Because now their weaknesses, their flaws, their things that irk you are going to be magnified. Mm. But you can ignore that when you can run to your friend. It is a form of detachment from your relationship. So in that case, it is unhealthy. So I think we have to evaluate each situation. It doesn't mean that there aren't genuine friendships out there, the opposite sex, that people have while in a relationship. But I would argue that a lot of people, there's some things wrong in those situations that need to be corrected. Doesn't mean you gotta stop being friends altogether, but there are some things that need to change and boundaries have to be set.
Yeah.
Mm. You know what I'm saying? You gotta have boundaries in your relationship with your friends once you are romantically involved with somebody.
Hey, welcome to Letitia's Audience Comment Section. Don't forget to drop those voice messages on Anchor app. is
gmail.com. Now, let's listen in.
Before the episode begins, I want to warn you, there is some slight technological issues. I think it was with our connection, but you know, like I said before, my podcast is real and raw. And so I'm just going to keep that in there because I don't want to lose the priceless gems that myself and Felipe shared with one another. And we really dropped some gems in this episode. So I just want to say, bear with us, bear with me. But guess what? This happens in real life. And if you know anything about my podcast show, I give you the real. I'm real. This is real. The real me, raw and uncut. So I hope you enjoy this episode. It's going to be sort of in the middle, but just bear with it. It eventually ends and you can get a gist of what we're talking about. That's all that counts. Okay. So enjoy. Oh, hello, hello.
Hello. It is I, F. Christopher Blue from More Than Therapy.
So what brings you here today? Let's just get right into it. So you've been here before. You my homie, my ace, my boom, my ace boom coon. And so we had a discussion, and this is really a derivative of our last conversation and last episode that we just completed, right? Basically, right. Men can have sex with women and don't even like them or is attracted to them, right? Correct. And so part of the discussion, you brought up something that I thought was very poignant. And I wanted to kind of highlight that and hone on that in this podcast episode. You said, well, we kind of alluded to that men and women as friends. And can men and women, that's like the age-old question, can men and women actually be friends? So I thought that just needed its own podcast episode. And that's like, okay, who do I want to wake this up with? More than my friend, Christopher Blue Felipe. So from our conversations that we had earlier on the phone, you know, we talk and we like to unpack things, but what do you think? What do you think? Can men and women be friends, and why or why not?
I would say that men and women can be friends.
Okay.
I want to say that it's all about maturity. I don't see why they couldn't be friends. In fact, you say that you have a lot of male friends.
Mm-hmm.
I say I have a lot of female friends. I wish I had as many male friends as I have female friends. It just doesn't happen to be the case because I really like to have a circle of people that have similar interests to me, and my interests just happen to be mental health.
Right.
But let's unpack it a little bit because there's going to be certain things that's going to make that not as plausible, right?
Right.
Right, right, right.
Right. And so one of those things, and that was a good segue, by the way. I love that. My fellow podcaster and clinician. Sometimes I think it can get a little muddy when the quote-unquote benefits are at play. What do you think?
Yeah. I would say yes, because let's say like you, unless you're understanding, like they have history together, like they might have messed around in the past.
And so, okay, so I'll stick a pin in that real quick. So basically, okay. What is a friend? Because that can be kind of vague, right? Like what does friendship mean? And I had a podcast, I always want to say podcast, a Clubhouse room on this very topic. And someone asked that, like, so what does friendship mean? I'm like, you know what? That's a very good question, because that could be different for different people. Because some people can say friends with benefits is kind of a friend. And I don't see it that way. And that's exactly why I don't get into those type of relationships, because when I have a difficulty in defining what we are, that's a problem.
In my circle, I can actually say my friends are people that check on me, people that support me, people I might have dinner or lunch or breakfast with, and we just kick it about whatever we kick it with, or kick it regarding career goals or conferences or workshops or trainings we want to do, mm-hmm. or conduct ourselves. We build up each other. We promote each other. We motivate each other. We push each other into the direction in which we need to be pushed when sometimes our own stuff gets in the way.
So would you say shared interest?
Shared interest,
okay.
Shared goals, shared values.
Ooh, that's a good one.
You know,
that's a good one.
Somebody to be in a good place, like they want to be in a good place. You balance each other by pushing. I feel like
that's another.
My better friends are ones that you still ain't applied for this, or you still didn't do that. Get off your ass and do it. You know what I'm saying? Or that it seems kind of mean at times, but it's in a good place because they only want me to be better.
That was good. And I'm going to tell you why. That was so good. That's a good definition. You know why? Because I think if people really vetted each other and had these type of conversations, they would see that they wasn't even compatible outside of the bedroom. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you why. I've had conversations with men, and while I knew it couldn't go anywhere else, it's because the goals were different. Mm-hmm. Where we were going were different. And so in the beginning, and someone said this in my clubhouse room, that in the beginning, it's all good and dandy when the passion is there. Of course, because that clouds everything. It feels mm-hmm. good, and I love being around you, the butterflies. But you know that relationship is really strong when it can go through something and it mm-hmm. still survives.
Right.
And so the relationships that I have, they go through things. But 9 times out of 10, when we don't have shared interest, well, shared vision and shared goals, that's usually going to be problematic down the road.
Right.
And that's what marriage is, right? Marriage is, we have to share vision even through the ups and the downs and all that stuff. And some people, ups and downs are not as high and low as some people, because I don't want to put that out there, because I do know people who are married who they really don't have any issues, literally. So I don't even want to put that, like, marriage is hard. I hate when people say that. It depends on the people. Mm-hmm. I have married friends and they literally say, Leticia, we literally don't argue. And I don't know why people think that's not heard of, but that's a whole nother story. So my thing is, what I was saying is, I look at us having a shared goal. Like, where are we going? If a man can't tell me that in the beginning, and I'm not saying that he has to have a beauty pageant answer, but if he can't answer that in some form or fashion, it's not for me, seriously. And he probably doesn't see me further than the bedroom. I'm just going to be honest with you.
I agree. I believe that, you know, to be a friend is almost the same formula as being a married partner or a lover. Mm-hmm. It's just the only distinguishing is, I don't know, the ring on the finger and intimacies in that way.
I agree.
The same values I wanted a friend, I would want in a wife. I would want in a, if I was a woman, I would want in a husband, or, you know.
So let's unpack that. What are those qualities? I'm glad you went down.
You know, the truth and honesty,
yeah.
Integrity,
loyalty,
motivating one another, inspiring one another.
Yeah.
Being what that person needs when they're not strong enough to be that for themselves, you know.
And that's biggie, and I think people gloss over this one because I think they think it looks one way. When people say honesty, mm-hmm. do people really know what that means? And the reason why I want to stop with the honesty right now mm-hmm. is, are you even honest in who you're presenting as? Ooh, there's so many imposters out here. And I look at that. Mm-hmm. Are you really authentically who you are? Do you have a hard time telling the truth in the little things? And the reason why I'm bringing that up, you have a lot of people who are, they're just imposters on social media. And for me, I've always had an imposter radar. I call mm-hmm. it the fraud radar. I know when somebody's a fraud as soon as I meet them. I do. Mm-hmm. I've always had that. My friends would know. I used to get into it with my friends, even in college. I have this story where I was 18 years old. And there was a situation where, to not go into detail because they may be listening, something happened on campus. I was a freshman and everybody thought this one particular thing. And I was like, nah, something's not right. And I had people literally mad. This particular girl, her friends were even mad at me, where it almost went to blows, literally. So I'm going to be honest with you, but you know me. I'm from, you know where I'm from. It was going to mm-hmm. go down. But anyway, it came out that I was right. And so one of my friends, she laughs about this to this day. She said, remember that time when you said X, Y, and Z and nobody believed you? And it happened exactly like I said. I said, I told you, my discernment is no joke. So I know when someone is a fraud. So I said all that to say, people think that honesty is just like, oh no, I tell the truth. No, sometimes it's who are you representing yourself as?
Right.
That's big to me.
And then sometimes you have to ask yourself that or really unpack yourself, because I think people right. have on masks for so long, they don't know who they are.
If they think it's, thank you.
They think it's them. That's exactly. Exactly. That's exactly. Do you know how many therapists I know who that might have been the case for, and then this pandemic happened, and then they really saw who they are, that they were not as strong as they thought they was, that they was not as solid as they thought they was, that they were more symptomatic than the people they were treating.
Ooh, come on. Wake that up. That's one thing I can pride myself in. I don't want to use the word pride, but the pandemic, if anything, see, I'm solid because guess what? When the storm comes, you see which trees are still standing, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so to be honest with you, the pandemic, and I hate to say this because I don't want to minimize anyone else who struggled through it. It was one of the best seasons of my life. I kid you not. Career-wise, even financially. And it goes to show, because I know everyone doesn't believe in the Bible, but, you know, in the Bible, it's the scripture where it says that basically in times of famine, his will flourish. And that's what literally happened to me. In times of famine, I had, man, look, if we didn't think that we were popular before as therapists, I had so many gigs, I couldn't take them because it was so much money coming in, like, for me, literally. But just even on a spiritual sense and just my my emotional well-being, it showed me who I was. And you know what it showed me? That I'm solid. That I'm solid. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a care or a fear in the world. Literally didn't. And where sometimes, have you ever been where you went through something and you felt like you should be fearful and you're like, damn, should I be scared? Like, why am I not tripping? And you're like, no, I think people think you should be filled with anxiety and depressed and all that. But that's just never been my ego strengths have always, I've always had good ego strength. You know, it's always been solid. And I attribute that to other, you know, to a lot of other things, but you're right. It showed people who they really were in people in the helping profession, which, you know, you don't want to minimize their pain, because I think sometimes, as we talked about it before on the phone, sometimes people don't check on the strong people. And so it could be that people probably wasn't checking in with them. Like, where was their tribe? That's the question I want to ask.
There you go. Where is their tribe? And yeah. Who is their tribe? And are they even true to the manifestation of that tribe?
And do people really know that they are in need? Because sometimes, I will say this, you could be so strong that it's hard for you to ask for help.
Yeah.
It's difficult for you to ask for help.
So strong that you don't know how to ask for help. Right. And they think you're so strong that you don't need the help.
There you go. Both.
So I always tell people all the time, always check on your strong
That's
friends.
Right.
And when I check on them, they feel kind of strange because they're not used to somebody caring for them as they care for others.
But when you check on them, because when I say it's twofold, when you check on them, we have to teach the strong friends, even ourselves, because I'm the strong friend. I'm going to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to accept the help. And so I had to learn that. I literally did, because I've always was that strong kid. I was always the one that stood up for the underdog. I hate a bully. I've always been that one. And I can say that I achieved that, because I think I told you earlier, I had this this powwow kind of with a friend. And I kind of let her know, like, look, you can't always call me with your stuff. I'm not a 24/7. And you know that about me. I think sometimes, like we said before, people think because we're therapists that we in a relationship, we're going to be analytical. I am so not that. Like, when I say I take that damn hat off, I take it off. To where some people who really don't know me don't be like, you're a therapist? Like, girl, you so damn cool. Because, like, that is, I would never. Like, my friends, they were like, you really let your hair down. And, like, because I know how to compartmentalize my life. I've always been good. I'm not going to say always. I've learned even to get better at it. But I kind of sort of know when to leave work at work and home life at home. But, yeah, sometimes the strong friends don't know how to accept the help. So it's not always about people not checking on them, because what do people usually say? Because I used to do this back in the day. Do you need anything? No, no, I'm good. Knowing damn well I needed something.
Right. Right.
Really.
Need a lot of something. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right, right. And so I always tell people too, you know, sometimes people are not going to be able, especially when there's a death or, you know, someone is going through bereavement. Don't ask that person if they need anything. Just do it.
Just give them what they need.
Yes, do it. Don't ask them, because 9 times out of 10, they're going to say no. You know they're in need. Just do it.
There you go.
Go to the grocery store, go buy them some groceries, go cook them a meal and just take it over there. You don't know how beneficial that is.
Send them an Uber Eats or a Grubhub just right off the cuff. It's not monetary
all the time, because even if you don't want to spend money, spending time, like I can give an example, even this. I have a little cousin and she's my baby. I kind of like almost raised her. I even named her. And she had a baby recently. And, you know, she's young and she's working and stuff. And so a lot of times, even if I'm tired, I go get the baby and I keep him. Because I know that means more to her than anything else, than me buying anything. It's me just getting him off of her hands. You know what I'm saying? So stuff like that, just being of service to people, a lot of times it means more than money. So that would look like to a friend, if you got to go babysit the kids and say, you know what, let me take the kids to Chuck E. Cheese so you can just have a spa day. You know, more than just buying something. What do you think?
Yeah, of course. Time. I tell people all the time. I even wrote a book about it. Well, I'm writing a book about it. Ooh, Let me stop lying. Time is currency. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, it is. It sure is.
Like, it's like when I do supervision. You know, I'm not gonna beat you in the head with the price. But understand, when I take that hour to do supervision, that's an hour that I'm not doing therapy.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And you're pouring into them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I'm giving to you because there's going to be a time that you're going to have to give to others. I would want you to give to others. Remember this gift. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Now, let's go on to talking about discussing friends with benefits. I know we discussed before, it depends on if the person is sexually attracted or not. Because I had a lot of guys tell me, like, it's easy to be friends with someone who of the opposite sex that you don't deem attractive, right? And so I've had friends that tell me that, you know, when you are attracted to that person, or I would say there's benefits involved, that's gonna kind of look different. And I also want to stick a pin in that, because later on after this, I want to talk about what does that look like when you've had benefits with a quote unquote friend, and now you're in a permanent relationship, a committed relationship. Do you keep that friends with benefit around? Because it seems like you men, I'm going to pick on you here. You men have a hard time closing doors.
Closing doors. That's how you say it.
Open, man. Yeah, I do.
Closing doors.
Yeah. Because if she's your sister and she's like been a sister to you, y'all grew up together, like y'all like cousins, I wouldn't have an issue with that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
More than I would somebody who I know you had sex with before. Let's just call it what it is. Don't get silent on me now.
I don't know. I can't think of nobody that I brought up from, you know, my youth that I still have dealings with, like friends like that, of the female persuasion, besides maybe one, two. And one of them is my ex-wife, because we came up together. I think that if it's a true friendship, a friendship with no extremities, you know, situationships attached to it, then if it's a friendship that is based on the same things we talked about earlier, those types of standards, then there should be no problem when somebody's new introduced into the relationship. They should not necessarily have an issue with it. Mm-hmm. But of course, the man would have to make that, or the woman would have to make that understood, that this is my friend. Let them see that person. Let them feel that person. Let them be in that person's presence. If you hide them and they're not interacting with them, then you create that type of tension that might play out.
I think that's where the problem lies, is when it's a secret and there's a, like a mystery there. I think if everyone is forthright, because to be honest with you, I wouldn't want to go further with a man who would put me in a predicament where I have to feel insecure at all. We're at an age now that those type of games, because if you're still doing things like that, those things like that are going to pop up in the relationship. They just will. Because what would make me think, because I know how women can be. I'm not going to lie. I'm a woman. Yeah, and I've been here before. I know how sometimes men are more attractive when they're married. I know what it looks like. Okay, let's just wake it up. Sometimes, and I hate to say it because it's very immoral, you know, that person lacks integrity, but it's something about, because I've heard women say this, not me per se, but when men have a ring on, they become more of a target. That's so toxic.
I've heard but I never really, I always just heard it. I never seen no manifestations of that being a true statement.
I've seen it.
That's a West thing. I don't see that out here in the East.
Yeah, I've seen it. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think it's just Western. Like, I know people all over the world. And that just seems really bold and that really speaks
to that person's character. Like, why would you even want to deal with somebody like
that? But listen, I mean, why do you think we have infidelity? Come on now. We can't act like that's not a thing, because it's a thing.
But to purposely target them? Oh, he's married. I'm a fucking out.
But listen, men and women have done it. And I'll give you an example. Like, for instance, I will want to say this before I forget, but with social media, it's so easy to slip in someone's DM. It's so easy to slip in someone's back channel. It's so easy for him to post a picture of his family and he dated this girl. She could still have feelings for him and she just slips up. Do you know that's how it starts a lot of the times? It just does. And so for me, I should be that woman to where, even if this heifer does that, I know the type of husband I have.
That nigga ain't shit.
No, I would hope he would be that. I hope he would be like, you know what?
I'm sorry, that's where you was going.
I wouldn't even say, no. I'm saying I would hope, the type of husband that I would have, because he would be my husband, would be a man that I would hope would be like, he will shut it down. He will shut it down and block her. Because what do you have to
and tell his wife about it? Like, whoa, look at this.
Absolutely.
Oh, you kill that, homie. I will. I just wanted you to see it first. That way nothing else came up out of it.
People that happened to. And guess what? I've known men who've been enticed, and I know men who have shut it down and let the wife know, and the wife handle it. Oh, I know you just hit my husband. And you know, it depends on who you are, because I don't know if I want to go into all that. I'm going to let you shut it down, because that's your friend and whatever, and she felt bold enough to do that with you. I'm not getting into it with no woman. I'm just not going to do it. And you're my husband. I'm just not going to do it. But women will do it. You have infidel, and you have people who are out there. Come on, Felipe. They're just homewreckers. And you say you don't see that. I see it. I see it every day.
No, I'm not in those circles. I don't see it.
Okay. Well, I've seen it. I've seen it. And so that's why in the beginning, I look at those qualities in a man to I need to see that he's an upstanding man. And I'm not trying to say that men are not human and you can't get weak, but I just hope in that aspect, you're not being weak. Because why are you?
You're saying men, what about women that can't get weak? I mean, you know, I know way more women that cheat than men. Yeah,
true.
And you're really good at it, and just play it off so well. And
because I don't want to condone cheating, but you know, there's various reasons why different genders cheat on in a general sense, I'll say, because every situation is different. But usually, women cheat when she just checked out of that relationship and she's not getting her needs met anymore on the emotional level. And that's not condoning, because I don't agree with it, because I feel like just be single, just in the relationship. Mm-hmm. But usually women cheat, it's emotional cheating. That's why you have a harder time. Now you have women out there who think they're dudes and they out there to just, you know, and that's a whole nother toxic, traumatic story. But, you know, I think men and women cheat for various reasons. A lot of times men cheat because it was some ass available. Because I've heard it many times. It wasn't because he was invested in anything and he's not leaving his wife 9 times out of 10. It was just some ass and he had a moment of weakness and it happened. Women usually when they cheat, it's because, and I say we, and I'm saying me as a cheater, because I'm not a cheater, but I'm a woman. Mm-hmm. But usually women cheat because they have an emotional connection with that man. But we don't have to go into all that. I'm just saying, from what I've seen. And benefits is a no, right? Of you to be friends in a relationship they have bits with. I answered that. I think you said if you upright, but do you think that friendship should remain intact?
Somebody that you had relations with in the past?
Yeah.
And now you're in some new shit?
Yeah.
I think it all depends on the length. If it was recent,
it all depends. Really?
I think it has levels. Cause you know, let's say I messed with somebody 10 years ago and then I got married 10 years later. And that's just my homie. We don't even kick it like that. She on some other shit. I'm on some other shit. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be cool. There's no doubt. I doubt that would ever rekindle. You know what I'm saying?
Time into it.
Yeah, but if it was somebody I kicked it with 5 weeks ago and then I'm with you, well then, yeah, that's probably not cool. I don't think I don't know. It depends on the definition of that friendship with friends. Have y'all decided y'all wasn't going to do that no more? Is there something that happened that makes y'all not do it no more? Were we friends before we started doing that? And that was just an icing on the cake? Or was that all we were? You know what I'm saying? Then that's different. If that's all we were, then no, it can't be no more, because that's the only thing that defined our friendship.
So let me ask. Men seem to have a different answer, and they are the one that is in the driver's seat, if you will. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. Say for instance, me and you are in, but there's this guy, we're still friends, but we've had sex before, and we've had sex several mm-hmm. and all that, and it was but it was 10 years ago, but I tell you, like, hey babe, you know, we used to kick it like that, you wouldn't have that.
Well, like I said before, I'm gonna go back to my previous thing. If he's not a secret, if he's in the circle, if he's introduced to me and he's, you know, normalized, then I ain't gonna feel no type of way. I think once he knows me, he sees me, he gets to know me, or he understands who I am and what I am in that relationship, if something then happens, well, then that's just a whole another level of disrespect. It's easier for me to disrespect you if I don't know you, if that makes sense. It's easier for me to fuck your girl that used to be my girl if I never met you and I only know you by name. Once I meet you, I shake your hand, we might play a pool game together or something, then it's very disrespectful for me to do that. And that just shows my character if I do that.
Why? Because most men would have an issue with that. You know, because they had an issue with thinking in the back of at my wife. You know what I mean? And if we...
I was in a situation like, I mean, I'm going to cut you off, but I just like, I've been there, done that, you know what I'm saying? And that's her past. It should be.
Let me finish my thought. So, in the back of their mind, and they may say, this person had my wife compromising situation, positions and all that stuff. So, what would make me think we had a rough patch in my marriage? Friend will come to her rescue. What I'm saying. It's a real thing. It already. It almost reminds me. Remember the best man? You remember where Morris Chest issue with?
Yeah, the writer.
I think.
Yeah.
And they that was a college thing, but he still had a problem with it when he found out about it.
And I think Love Jones had a similar scene, didn't Nia Long step off for him with one of the homies, and then came back.
Long.
I hate that movie.
After. Together, somebody in her past, she messed with him during their hiatus. That's different.
Oh, okay. I don't remember the movie that good. That's not a lot.
You know, I love. No, that was different. That's like me and you. Say, for instance, we're dating or whatever. That's like me and you are dating. We kind of broke up, and I go talk to one of your homeboys.
Oh, that's some dog ass shit.
That's right. That's what happened in Love Jones. And so, no, that's foul. In Best Man, I can't think of Taye Diggs' character's name. I can't think
Quincy.
Of
his name.
It wasn't Quincy.
My bad.
It wasn't Quincy. I can't think of his name. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Him and Mia were together in college. They were all in this friend circle. But so it kind of was sticky too, because basically Mia and they were together in college. And so him and Mia were studying and they wind up having sex during studying, but they were together. But now they're getting married. So because I never knew that happened. I don't know. That's too though. Sticky too. So he found out in the book that he was reading on the wedding day, or like thing right before the wedding at his bachelor party, that mm-hmm. him, his wife to be, and his best friend had did some things. That's what happened. And he was getting ready to marry her the next day. He found out that his best friend in college and his girl actually had sex in college, and he never knew that. So I can kind of see how that could be hard too, though. I do. Because he didn't know. It was something that happened behind his back. So infidelity is just wrong all the way around. Let's just say that. Secrets and yeah, it's just bad all the way around. So friends with benefits, I think it just gets sticky. That's why I don't think I can do friends with benefits. Have I done friends with benefits before? Absolutely. Because I could be transparent for this episode. I have. And it can get sticky. Because you really don't know what the relationship is, and you're thinking that you can have your big girl pants on, but you know, feelings are there. And I've had it on the other side where I was the one that was like, this is what it is, and he wasn't okay with it. He wanted more, and I was like, I don't want that with you though.
Right. So,
I've had it both ways. I have. I can be honest with that.
It's like, called retroactive jealousy. Jealousy, resentment, or frustration regarding your partner's romantic or sexual experiences. Jealousy.
What do you mean retroactive? What do you mean?
It means retroactive. Like that happened before you. You know what I'm saying? So you're feeling jealous over something that ain't got nothing to do with the present. I believe in mindfulness. I'm a dialectical behavioral therapist. Mm-hmm. Stay in the present. And that relationship should be in the present.
I think it's easier.
And if you're still comparing yourself to what happened in the past, then to me that just shows an unsurety about yourself and your place in that relationship.
I disagree. And I'm going to tell you why I give you pushback. It's because that person is still around. Is this person still coming over for dinner and Thanksgiving and playing with the kids and the kids calling this person auntie and uncle and all that good stuff? You know what I'm saying? Like, it depends. Like, how close is this friend? If it's somebody who, and not only that, is this person still texting you? Do y'all still have a texting type relationship? I have a problem with that. And that doesn't mean I'm insecure. That means that we need better boundaries. And that's not for me to uphold and establish those boundaries. That's up to you as my husband to say, this is not okay. I'm just because I'll say this, even if you're not doing anything with this other person, mm-hmm. if I feel insecure anyway, you need to ensure me that nothing's going on, and vice versa. Me too, because guess what? I already know it's probably going to be an issue with me having a lot of guy friends. I've thought about it before. I thought about it. And I have very attractive guy friends.
Well.
You get on my team. So it's not like, you know how sometimes it's easier when the person's not attractive, like, oh, well, okay. But when the friend is attractive, women have issues. Trust me, I know. Women have issues with me. Yeah, they do.
I believe it. Should I have issues with you?
What do you mean by that? What issue do you have with me?
I'm just saying.
Stop it. We're Felipe. We're friends.
You ain't got to convince me we're friends.
stop it. So, no, that's a real thing though. Like, I think women have issues with me, and not because I'm very, when I say I have integrity, I'm not gonna ever. I'm the one to where, because we really wanna wake it up. I'm gonna be honest with you, transparency moment. I've had times where I've had to literally remind my guy friends that this is getting a little bit too close. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I literally have had that. So
close, like what? Tell me more.
I can't stand you. You get on my nerve. When it was just kind of going where it was kind of in that danger zone on their end, because I always ask myself in my friendships, would I like this to happen to me if this was my husband? And so that always keeps me in check. I always want to know where I am in this friendship, and is something is borderline inappropriate. Right. Like, it was a friend that was calling me at odd hours of the night. Now, mind you, it wasn't anything nefarious, and I don't think the intentions were bad, but when infidelity happens, do the intentions always start off as being bad?
I don't think so.
Exactly. And so when I said the intentions weren't bad, I'm a night owl. So my friends know that they can call me late because I'm up late. And so I was like, okay, but this is not appropriate because he's not single. How does that look though? And what I want my husband to be calling his friend that's of the opposite sex this late at night.
Because I feel like no problem unless they like FaceTiming and she's, you know,
right,
their intimacy but, where.
But have you ever heard that phrase, there's nothing open this late but legs?
Oh yeah.
And you know, there's a certain type of vibe that happens late at night. Like, we have to really wake it up and just be honest. Am I right?
Yeah, I agree. I feel what you're
saying. It's a different vibe at nighttime. It just really is. And I don't care. And see, that's why I can look at it for what it is, because I'm not dishonest with myself. I'm not, when you can say, we're good, we can handle this. No, you have to be honest with yourself and say, okay, what's appropriate, what's borderline, because the goalposts don't start way to the left. It starts way to the right, and it inches gradually. So now you're late at night and you're not in the bed. Okay, why are you not in the bed with your wife? You know, this is the hour that I would want my husband to be in bed with me. I'm just saying. And then, and met the last person you talking to at night? Because we know how that go too. The last person you talk about, you usually do what?
Talk about your most intimate things, your most bothersome things, the things that touch your heart the most or lay heavy on your heart before you rest yourself.
And you usually dream about it. Am I right?
Hopefully.
What is that? But I'm just saying, like, we just have to be honest. And so even though it doesn't start off that way, but that's how cheating starts. It starts gradual. It just does. And so I just wanted to, you know, to add that, like, we just have to be honest with ourselves and know what we can handle as well. Now, I wanted to get into the friend zone thing. And why is it that men usually have an issue with the friend zone?
Just like any man would say, I have enough friends.
I'll give context to it, because for me to be married to someone, I have to be a good friend. He has to be my friend, literally, because mm-hmm. this is going to be eventually my best friend. And so I think a lot of times men, they cut this off, or they want all or nothing. And I think they do themselves a disservice by doing that. And that's why I think we have issues in relationships, because you didn't have a friend without the benefits, of course. You didn't get to know that person on a deep level. And I think that's so problematic. And I will say this, once the benefits come into play, you can't put that back in a bottle. You just can't. Mm-hmm. I don't care how hard people try it. I've tried to even do it before. You just can't do it. Once you've had sex with somebody and you just see themselves on another, you just can't go backwards. I'm sorry. And so people come to this podcast like, no, you can't. You can't. You can't. I don't care how hard you try. You just can't do it.
But I think that we just need to be able to build this type of solid foundation in the beginning. And then we can figure out if we even like this person, right?
Right.
Because some people don't even like each other. You have sex with people that you don't even like the last episode, are really attracted to. You don't even want anything else from them. You don't even like this person.
I believe that, I think we have to define what friends are. I think a lot of people feel like, I just don't know if people really understand the true definition of a friend or how to be a friend. And I think that's where it gets convoluted. They do certain friendship type things, and then all of a sudden that's supposed to be their friend. Though they're missing key concepts of what a friend may or may not be.
I think it's a cop-out sometimes too. I think men, and I think women too, but I think men love to use the word friend. You know why? They don't want any responsibility of a relationship.
I see that.
Mm-hmm. I think so. I see it a lot of times, you know, because I hear the whole where the woman is usually, what are we? Oh, we're friends.
Mm-hmm.
We're friends. And I said, that's a cop out, because he know if he's in that friend. See, this is where you guys like the friend zone. Not saying you per se, but a lot of men, what I see, they like to be in the friend zone right here because it's cloudy. There's no really definition to it. And they don't have to act like they're your man, because you know, when it goes to the next level, there's certain responsibilities that they have to, perform.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of guys, they want their cake and eat it too.
Right.
I'm gonna call it out. You want your cake and eat it too. You want the benefit of having her whenever you want it for that physical release, but you don't want anything else with her. You don't want to take her out to dinner. You don't want to talk to her on the phone. You don't want to nurse her wounds when she's feeling down. And so if I keep her in this friend zone, then she can't question me.
You can't expect that of me.
Absolutely. That's exactly what it is.
That's sad, man.
It's
who does,
sad.
Who does that shit?
What you say? The last thing?
Who does that? Who would do that? That's mean.
Oh, so many men do
it
that.
It makes me sad to hear that.
Are you being facetious right now?
Yes.
I'm like, what? I'm like, are you kidding me right now? Like, men are doing that. Seriously. They put them in that parking lot. But it's so funny, because the reason why I thought about this episode, I said, on one hand, I've seen men who've been sexually active with a woman, and then she's asked that question, like, what are we? Oh, you know, let's just figure each other out. I just want to be your friend. I'm like, that man is not into you, because I've had the opposite. I've had it to where a man knows who he wants. Trust me. If he done been intimate with you and he's trying to see where this goes, girl, he don't want you.
Mm.
You guys don't operate like, because you know why? Y'all want to lock it down. Y'all don't want, because you know you've met a good thing. You want to lock it down. I've had several men tell me that. They was like, no, if the man's saying that, let's see where this goes. I just want to be friends first. He's not into you like that. He's into for that sexual thing. But my thing is, just be honest. Just be honest. But you know what it is? They think, what is all this background noise you have? Like, it's
just so... I know, right? You know what I'm saying? My phone busy. They know I'm supposed to be sleeping. What are they doing?
Are these women texting you?
Power off and restart. Power off.
My listeners on the virtual couch, anything can go. That's why it's very raw. It's very real. And that's why I like it like this, because look, these are some of the things that happen in our everyday life. So I want you to see that therapists are real people. When I interview my therapist friends, we're real people. We're quirky. We're funny. We could be serious. And life happens to us too.
Hell yeah. I'm just like you, if not worse, trust.
Right. Okay. So I think we said before in the past episode, like, sometimes people just don't bring anything else to the table but sex. And that's just what it is.
Mm.
And that's just what the relationship is. It's just a sexual one. But I think there's always one, even if they didn't start off this way, and we talked about this earlier, their feelings get tied up into the transaction, if you will. And a lot of times it's the woman, but men too.
Mm-hmm.
Men too. Again, I've had it before. You can start off thinking that you're strong enough to handle the situation, and you're like, whoa, what is this? I didn't know I was going to be feeling like this, right? And so I just think people just need to be honest. Do you have anything to add to that? Because I see a lot of times where people think that they can handle just physical, but sometimes one person usually gets hurt.
I believe people need to be, like I said, honest, open, and able to adapt if necessary. You know, you might just say from jump, it's just platonic or we're just friends and we still gonna do what we do. But then, you know, if our feelings do happen to change, be open to express that, and whatever the consequence of that, let it be what it be. Sometimes people won't express that they're getting feelings because they don't want to lose a little bit of what they do have.
I see it this way too, that I think this is my issue, and this is me looking at different relationships from afar, because, you know, in our field, we see a lot of different relationships, and just on social media, I see a lot of things transpire. What I see a lot of the times, I see men literally, they really have no interest beyond the bedroom with certain women, but they will keep that door open. And it's like, leave that woman alone. I think it's so sad. And then they wonder why, because I am an avid believer, what you reap is what you sow. I do. And that's why I don't do people wrong, because what you reap is what you sow. And usually these are the same men who usually fall in love with somebody who break their heart, who break the hell out of their heart, because it's going to come back around. So my thing is, if you know that you don't want anything more, let that person go, because you know that person is feeling you on a deeper level. Now, is it the other person's responsibility to let it go as well? Absolutely, because you have some stalker chicks out here who they see all the writing on the wall, the blimp is in the sky, the airplane have written it in the clouds, and they still think that they can change this man's mind. Now, part of that is delusion, absolutely, because I know some right now, I do. I know one in particular. And I believe that there. And the writing is on the wall. And I think this person think that sex and trying to act like another woman, it's just really crazy, to be honest, which I think this person needs therapy. I'm not going to say I know they do, because there's a lot of trauma there, because as a trauma therapist, I know what it looks like. And so it's abandonment and rejection issues at play. And I don't think that's the other person's responsibility to heal somebody. But at the same time, a lot of times men are not concrete in saying no. What they do a lot of times, they ghost. And you know, that's a maturity thing too. When you know it's not what you want, you need to just say that. But a lot of times, again, like I said before, they want that door to stay open, or sometimes they're just not mature enough to communicate that. Anytime I know something is not going where I want it to go, I have a conversation. Like, you know what? I don't see, and I've had men like, so what is it then? Like, what are you looking for? And I'm like, I'm not telling you that, because if you are what I was looking for, that you're just part. You're gonna show.
If you tell me what you are, then I'll become that.
Exactly. I told a guy that not too long ago. I said, if I tell you that, I said, I'm not stupid, honey. You got the wrong woman. I said, if I tell you what I'm looking for, you're gonna try to play that role. You're gonna be Mr. You know, that representative's gonna show up. I was like, if I would know it, because you would show up as that. And I left it at that. Now, you have some women, because you have a lot of women who talk too much. They tell men everything and they wonder why they got bamboozled, because you told them too damn much. That's why. If you're the one for me, you're gonna show up as that, because God is gonna send you to me as that thing. I don't have to tell you. And that doesn't mean you're a bad person. Absolutely not. And I had to tell him that. You're not a bad person. You're just not my, you're not my person. And that's it. So I think sometimes men don't want us to be honest, because I'm very honest. I don't play with people's heart. That's one thing I don't do. I won't play with your heart, because I believe in what you reap is what you sow. And I don't want to be holding you up for somebody who's actually for you. And I told him that. It could be somebody that's really out there, everything that you desire. Everything that you desire. And I don't want to be in her way. I don't. So I just think that we just need good communication, Felipe.
the kind of... I do believe that. I think, and that's what's lacking. I do believe across the board, we don't know how to talk to people. And the things we say we do, oh, I'm a great communicator. You ain't talking loud, ain't saying nothing. It's an old song from the 60s or 70s or something.
Right. And that's why I think friendship is so important, because when that friendship is there, you're so used to having your guard down and just really unpacking and just being like, for instance, I use you an example. Like, I love our conversations. You know, we're not trying to show up and be competitive and putting our representative, like, we don't have to do that. We could be silly with each other, and all that good stuff. And so if I can't have that in my marriage, it can't be my marriage. I'm just being honest with you, because I'm a great communicator. I know that. And you can give me pushback, Felipe. I'm a great communicator, right?
Right. I think so. Yeah.
Right. I communicate. Yeah. I'm not. Yeah. I had so many guy friends tell me that. They were like, you are a great communicator. And so I know I would want that in a marriage. And I know that right up. I'm not going to say right up front, because we should give people grace. But usually by a certain age, if you don't have that, what do you think?
I feel like, you know, I don't know how old you is, but I think up in these, anything, the millennials, anything before the millennials, whatever that was called, what was that called? Mm-hmm. Generation X?
Generation X.
Yeah, I think Generation X's should definitely be on some new shit. They shouldn't be about. This shouldn't even be a conversation that should concern them. You know what I'm saying? They grown and sexy and got doing what they're supposed to be doing. You know what I mean?
I'm ready to vibe and do life. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I don't be teaching nobody.
If you can't meet me where I'm at regarding communication and meeting my needs, then ain't no need to have no conversation. Yeah. If you concern yourself with, if I have female friends or male friends that don't think I'm invested in you, well, once again, we don't need to have that conversation. You know what I'm saying? You ain't in my league.
The phone and talk to my babe when things are happening good, when things are happening bad, and we can unpack it together. That's doing life. And yeah, all the rest of the stuff y'all can keep. I don't want any of it. Because that means you're going to be drama in my life. And you can have all that, because there's somebody out there that want that. You know what I'm saying? But not me. I'm healthy. I am healthy. And so... with that said, Felipe, I think we have another winner here.
No doubt.
I think that was good. I think it was good. You know, I love talking to you.
I love talking to you. You know what I'm saying? I think that we make good music together.
We do make good music. I know. I love it. And this is what I'm talking about, because I think we are modeling good communication from the opposite sex. Seriously. Things don't always have to be sexual. We can really have good in-depth conversations. And so I appreciate you. I really do.
I appreciate you. And thank you for once again allowing me to be a guest on your lovely podcast that's so well produced and polished.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I want to say this, because I want the audience to know, thank you for supporting me. I love, because I think we don't have enough of that. I think sometimes we think a person support someone and they have to be getting something, has to be transactional all the time. Mm-hmm. I really didn't even know you from a can of paint at first. And you bought my book, you posted it, and you always are always just lifting me up. And so that's why when I say, I don't know, well, you wasn't in my clubhouse room, but I brought this up. I say, you know, sometimes when I think God brings people across our path to show us what different qualities we should have in an intimate partner. Like my guy friends, they teach me how a man treats a woman. All of you guys treat me like a queen, definitely. And I love that about you. And so y'all know I have y'all back till the wheels fall off.
No doubt. That's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah. I love it. And I'm going to always treat you like a king. So anytime you need me to help you out, you know I got you.
Indeed. Indeed. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes. So until next time, we are out.
Didn't she just drop some gems? Come back soon for some more of her intellectually stimulating conversations with a dose of humor laced with that dope LA swag. Keep doing your thing, beautiful. She's out. Peace.
Virtual Couch.